Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal this morning starts right after this.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Widespread issues at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Welcome into Thursday. It is May 29th. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
A report from an inspector general finds that problems at the VA are systemic, not limited to the hospital in Phoenix. Plus, you'll hear the growing list of lawmakers that want heads to roll.
In his commencement speech at West Point, President Obama tried to define how to use the awesome American power.
Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden continues swapping verbal grenades with Secretary of State John Kerry. You'll hear some of those taunts.
And the new type of travel insurance that bets on airline inconvenience.
It's insurance that is available for domestic trips at a flat fee of $25, and it pays out if something goes wrong. So if your flight is 2 hours late, basically regardless of the reason, they'll put $50 into your bank account.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on the newest twist on travel insurance. He's here later in the hour. The problems are mounting for the Department of Veterans Affairs. A new report from a watchdog group has found systemic problems at VA healthcare facilities, including improper procedures for scheduling patient appointments and efforts to hide excessive wait times. The latest news is increasing the pressure on embattled VA secretary Eric Shinseki. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling says the interim report by the VA's independent inspector general focuses on the Phoenix VA healthcare system in Arizona, where wait times for patient appointments were improperly reported, but also points to widespread scheduling problems elsewhere. Ben, take us through the IG's report.
So the inspector general has said that they've expanded their review to some 42 locations in the VA, and what we're seeing is widespread issues with scheduling problems. So the scheduling software that's used at the VA is a decades-old system that hasn't been fully revamped. It's been updated over time, but it's not been fully revamped. So it can be easy to manipulate data within the system or to figure out a way to, as people call it, game the system. So what you can do in some ways is you can go in and you can say, put an appointment on top of another appointment, and the software will allow that first appointment to cancel itself out, so it looks like it never existed. So things like that are occurring, and the reason that it looks like that type of thing is occurring is because in a couple years ago, the VA set pretty aggressive goals for target goals for wait times for patient appointments. They wanted to get 14 days between when a patient asked for an appointment and when that patient was seen. And there's some thought that that's put a lot of pressure to meet those goals, and that there has been some of the scheduling impropriety that's occurred because of that.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. So this is really a centralized issue we're dealing with here?
Well, the problem was highlighted in Phoenix, and that's kind of where the inspectors really started looking for it. But yes, it is happening at a number of different locations, and it's not just a recent thing. It's been highlighted over time. The Inspector General, the General Accounting Office, or the Government Accounting Office, they've put out reports in the past that highlight some issues that they've seen with the scheduling software and with people using it who aren't well trained, who are knowingly manipulating the system. Something that's been focused on recently is in 2010, somebody sent out a VA memo, an internal memo that highlighted the ways that you could use the system improperly, and they were doing that to say, hey, stop using it this way. But as you know, somebody said, it was this is a compendium of how to game the system, and you know, this memo went out in 2010 saying, here's the way we aren't supposed to be using the system. Stop using it this way. And some of those techniques for gaming the system, for changing wait times, for not reporting things correctly, were seen to be in use in Phoenix and at other facilities and under the current review that the Inspector General is doing. So these problems are persistent.
All right, so what's next in the investigation?
Well, there's been a few more calls for Secretary Shinseki to resign, mostly Republicans at this point. Chairman Buck McKeon from the House Armed Services Committee, Jeff Miller, who's the chair of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and Senator John McCain have all called for Secretary Shinseki to step down. There's more names that are being added to that list, but there still doesn't seem to be a preponderance of people calling for him to step down. And at this point, the White House is still supporting him.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling in Washington. Another problem with the system: the Phoenix VA simply had switched off a number of audit controls within the scheduling software, and as a result, neither the VA nor the Inspector General were able to tell if, quote, malicious manipulation of appointment data had occurred. The IG is also reviewing allegations of sexual harassment and bullying at that Phoenix facility. All right, so to further drill down on Ben's report, a House chairman has now joined the chorus of lawmakers calling for Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki to resign after the release of this Inspector General's report suggested problems providing care to veterans may be systemic. Congressman Jeff Miller of Florida, who chairs the House Veterans Affairs Committee, had a testy exchange at a hearing last night with VA official Joan Mooney.
Veterans died. Get us the answers, please.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman, and I will look.
That's what you said 3 months ago. This has been going on since January.
In addition, Arizona Senator John McCain said he wants an elevated probe.
I believe that this issue has reached a level that requires the Justice Department involvement. These allegations are not just administrative problems. These are criminal problems.
Mr. Shinseki, by the way, did not comment on his personal plans yesterday, but in the past has said he does not plan to leave office. In 2013, by the way, the VA healthcare system had 8.92 million enrollees being treated at more than 800 outpatient clinics, 300 VA centers, and 150 hospitals. To be clear, not all veterans rely on VA care, often using private insurance, Medicare, and Medicaid, and not all qualify for care. To receive VA care, a veteran typically has to have retired from the military or suffer from a long-term injury sustained while in the service. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Whether you're running a business, working from home, or selling items through online sites, going to the post office to send out your letters and packages is a waste of time. Use Stamps.com instead. You'll never have to go to the post office again, no matter what you're sending. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will give you a digital scale that calculates the exact postage you need, so there's no guesswork. It's no wonder Stamps.com customers printed over $1.5 billion in postage just last year alone. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer. Use the promo code WSJ for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. President Obama is trying to define how to project American power, not necessarily by major deployments of American forces, but rather through targeted operations, diplomacy, and aid. In remarks to the graduating cadets at West Point, Mr. Obama sought to articulate a doctrine that applies to an era of substantial shifts in the foreign policy landscape, marking the end of the post-September 11 wars, the rise of unexpected challenges from Russia, a new focus on European security, tensions in Asia, the evolving threat of terrorism, and the persistent volatility of the Middle East.
In taking direct action, we must uphold standards that reflect our values. That means taking strikes only when we face a continuing imminent threat, and only where there is near certainty of no civilian casualties.
The president's address at the U.S. Military Academy marked the start of his campaign to counter critics of his foreign policy doctrine and to also blunt charges that he has a gun-shy approach that's diluted American influence on the world stage. Former government contractor Edward Snowden continues exchanging taunts with top Obama administration officials. With more international barbs yesterday, there's no sign of an end to the hostilities between Washington and the guy who leaks some of the National Security Agency's most guarded secrets.
Whether amnesty or clemency ever becomes a possibility is not for me to say. That's a debate for the public and the government to decide. But if I could go anywhere in the world, that place would be home.
Mr. Snowden with NBC News. Secretary of State John Kerry, in an appearance on ABC News, reiterated the administration's position that Mr. Snowden is no patriot, should come home and face justice, and that there's no honor in what he's done.
We have evidence that people are in additional danger because operational security has been breached, because terrorists have learned firsthand about methods and mechanisms by which the United States collects intelligence.
Mr. Kerry said Mr. Snowden is welcome to return to the U.S. to make his case at any time, adding the U.S. can arrange a flight for him today if he wants. Mr. Kerry also said Mr. Snowden should man up and return to the U.S. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. A report by the VA's Inspector General finds systemic problems at VA healthcare facilities, including efforts to hide long wait times. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chair Jeff Miller sought answers from the VA's Joan Mooney at a congressional session last night.
Veterans died. Get us the answers, please.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman, and I will look.
That's what you said 3 months ago. This has been going on since January.
The IG report is leading to bipartisan calls now for Secretary Eric Shinseki to step down. A German drug maker has agreed to pay $650 million to settle thousands of U.S. claims that question the safety and the marketing of its popular blood thinner Pradaxa. Company said the settlement filed in federal court in East St. Louis will pay an average of just over $162,000 per case and resolve roughly 4,000 claims. Well, as you may have heard here, President Barack Obama delivered the commencement address to West Point cadets, insisting that U.S. reliance on diplomacy over military intervention works to resolve the global crises of today.
The United States will use military force unilaterally if necessary when our core interests demand it, when our people are threatened, when our livelihoods are at stake, when the security of our allies is in danger.
President Obama is trying to counter critics who say his foreign policy approach has diminished the global influence of the U.S. A prominent proxy advisor is urging Target shareholders to oust most of the retailer's board members for failing to protect Target from that big data breach at the end of last year. The call to oust 7 of 10 board members comes from Institutional Shareholder Services. Apple is buying Beats Electronics for $3 billion. The move comes as the tech giant faces challenges from music streaming services like Pandora and Spotify. With Beats, Apple gets a new music streaming service, industry connections, and ownership of those high-end headphones. U.S. stock futures this morning moving higher after a bit of a lower close. The Dow is down 42. The NASDAQ fell about 12 and the S&P slipped too. Today, Asian markets closed mixed. Traders said there was no specific catalyst for yesterday's lower close on Wall Street. You won't see Tiger Woods on the course in next month's U.S. Open at Pinehurst in North Carolina. The three-time champ and former world number one has ruled himself out of contention as he continues to recover from back surgery.
That means I will probably only check in on Sunday afternoon.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that's still the case where if he's not on the course, people aren't going to be tuning in?
I
don't know at this point,
Gordon. It is for me. It is for me.
Well, he's definitely still a draw.
Unless I need a nap on Saturday, for example, then I might catch that third round action.
But. All right. Duly noted.
24 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Good Friday Eve. The 9/11 Museum in New York has had a rocky rollout and is now facing another stumble, this time over a donor reception and products in the gift shops. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney, who's with us on the T-Mobile hotline. Jennifer, give us some of the initial feedback.
The night before the opening, the museum officials hosted a reception for donors who had helped make the museum possible. And this sort of touched a nerve and resulted in a front page New York tabloid story, sort of decrying the party on the, their loved ones' graves kind of reaction. So the president of the Memorial Foundation, Joe Daniel, says, look, that's been mischaracterized. It wasn't some black tie gala. It was a subdued gathering, he says, with members of, the board and donors, and they did have hors d'oeuvres and drinks, but they didn't take those down to the bedrock level where the exhibitions are housed.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney. People have been critical about the museum having a restaurant and a gift shop. What was the overwhelming response, and how's the museum responding to this criticism?
Sort of, there are two sides to this, right? On the one hand, people say this is sort of crass and commercial, and how could you think of including this in what's really a sacred space? But on the other hand, museum officials and others say, look, they don't get any government funding for operations. They need to generate revenue. And there are a large number of visitors who do want to come away with a keepsake or a book to remember their experience. And there are visitors who sort of need to sit down and have something to eat, want a place to reflect. So the museum is now planning to revise the way it reviews products for its gift shop, because there's been a lot of pushback to some specific merchandise in that gift shop. Specifically, there was a decorative platter in the shape of the United States with little heart symbols for each of the places where a plane went down, a hijacked plane. And that sort of went viral on the web and on social media, and people felt that this was really lacking in taste.
But overall, the museum has been well received.
Yes, the folks that I've spoken with, including family members and survivors and first responders and tourists, overwhelmingly say that this is a powerful place. It's a tribute to the nearly 3,000 people whose lives were lost. It's a painful experience. They say, look, it's emotionally difficult to go through, but they say that it's really well done.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney from New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, the other minimum wage in the U.S.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Leaving the country on business takes a lot of planning. Bringing your data plan doesn't. With T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan, you'll get unlimited data in over 100 countries automatically. There's no changing plans and no extra charges. Just get off the plane and go. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's First News.
Glad you're with us on this Thursday, May 29. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. And coming up this half hour, a new report outlines systemic problems at the Department of Veterans Affairs, why an American assault ship is being sent to the Mediterranean, and the most misspelled name in sports. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. Michigan has become the seventh state this year to raise its minimum wage. Noteworthy here is that Michigan is also the first Republican-controlled state to join the wave. Lawmakers on Tuesday approved an increase from $7.40 to $9.25 an hour by 2018, one of the highest pay floors in the Midwest. The deal was an effort to quash a potential ballot proposal for a larger increase. Meanwhile, the U.S. has a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour for most types of work, but another lesser-known minimum wage threshold is $23,660 a year. That's the minimum an employer can pay workers and avoid requirements to pay them overtime. A look at the data from Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrunn in Washington. Josh, explain it.
Well, this isn't nearly as well known as the minimum hourly wage, which is $7.25, of course, and there's a big effort to raise that. This is the wage that you have to be paid at least this much if your employer wants to avoid the requirement of paying you overtime. So if you make $23,660, your employer doesn't have to pay you overtime. And so, perhaps not surprisingly, there's a huge amount of Americans that earn right at or just above this threshold. And that's, you know, if you earned that and you didn't know why, part of it is because by paying that level, they can get out of those overtime requirements.
Wow. All right. So is there a movement afoot to change that?
There is. Just earlier this year, President Obama ordered the Department of Labor to take a look at those regulations for overtime pay and to adjust them. So that 23,000 threshold was set in 2004. It hasn't been, it hasn't kept up with inflation. And so they're going to go back in there and take a look at that. And so, you know, one thing that could come from that, and you would suspect this is the direction it's going, is that threshold would be raised. And if it does, that's going to affect a huge number of workers.
Sure. About how many do we know?
Well, there's right about 7 million people that earn kind of right at that wage level. So if you raised that threshold by, for example, $2,000, it would lift the wages of about 7 million people. Mm. It would be about a $14 billion boost to national income, which is actually pretty substantial.
Right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrunn in Washington. He's got a story about the millions of people who earn America's other minimum wage of $23,660. Who are these workers, by the way, typically?
I think it's across industries, and I think it would be, you know, across occupations. It would be, you know, they wouldn't be clustered in any one field, because the wage floor here, this minimum wage, just kind of applies to the broad. It's a broad Labor Department policy that applies to a huge category of workers.
Wow. Okay. Pushback from businesses. Are we getting some of that, or are we not quite there yet?
There has been some of that. I mean, you know, the business community in general wants the flexibility to set up its workforce the way it sees fit. You know, and there's often arguments about the minimum wage or about these tightened sort of regulations that all they really do is reduce unemployment, You know, that maybe a business has a $46,000 budget, and if you don't let them hire two people at $23,000, they'll be forced to only hire one person. That's kind of the type of story that they'll tell and say that these programs are bad for the overall employment level.
Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrunn. 22 minutes before the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Over 3 million Americans had their phones stolen last year. That's roughly double the number from 2012. The Wall Street Journal says that cell phone carriers have not done enough to stop this growing epidemic, fueled by high smartphone resale values and a liquid secondhand market. Until they do, it's up to you to protect your phone and aid police if it is stolen. More from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin.
Well, Gordon, the mobile security firm Lookout has rolled out a new app that it hopes will act as an extra set of eyes whenever someone tries to access your phone. The Journal's Jeffrey Fowler.
Whenever one of those suspicious things happens, the phone sends you a theft alert in an email that includes both the location of your phone and a photo of whoever is right in front of your phone. They call that photo a thefty.
Yes, a thefty is what they're calling it. Now, these theft alerts do cost you a little bit. They cost $30 a year, bundled with Lookout's other services that block unsafe websites. Jeffrey says that Lookout is part of a growing anti-theft industry that makes use of the fact that your phone is already a powerful self-contained tracking device.
These apps are really about turning the phone into the ultimate data collection machine that it is. And with that data, it's impressive what you can actually get done and possibly even recover your phone.
Now, that's not to say we should all go out and become stolen phone vigilantes chasing down thieves in the streets, but many law enforcement officials do use this information to help find crooks, and they find it very helpful. As a real-life example, Gordon, earlier this month, a beta user of the Lookout software in Tennessee had her phone stolen while shopping at Walmart. When the suspected thieves mistyped her passcode, Lookout snapped thefties and sent them to her. She then gave those photos to the police and posted them on Facebook. A few days later, a friend of hers identified the suspects by name. After that, the suspects turned themselves in to police and returned the phone.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So, just some guidance here for thieves.
Yeah.
If you steal a phone, wear a mask.
Right.
A face mask.
Right.
If you're going to incorrectly type in the password. Yeah, because while you're staring at the phone, it snaps the picture of you.
Or at the very least, make sure it gets your good side.
Right.
When it's going to take your picture. But, I mean, there's other things you can do, too. I mean, he lists some other apps and other programs that are out there to help you. Obviously, people who have iPhones know about the Find My Phone, Find My iPhone app. Now, of course, you have to actually set that up, which most people don't. I have to admit that I haven't set that up on mine. But that's something for free that you can do if you have an iPhone. And there's other apps that work better with different operating systems and different brands of phones. So he details them in a story.
Very good. Anybody make something that causes the phone to self-destruct when it's in the wrong hands? That'd be the one.
That would be cool.
Right.
I mean, there are ones I think that can actually wipe your data and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And get rid of your important information. So there's that kind of stuff. So it's sort of like self-destructing. It's not going to blow up in the guy's hand.
Yeah, no, I really prefer the blowing up.
Yeah.
If it were confirmed that it was stolen.
Yes.
Just so, obviously you don't have the phone, so you can't do it yourself.
Right.
So something between you and the carrier, or that you can do by email, it just blows the device up in the crook's hands.
Right. Maybe just give them a warning, a verbal warning. It says, this will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Like
let them throw it up in the air first.
Thank
or not.
You, Mike. Right. 16 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with a simple choice for business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Hey, glad you're with us. Berkshire Hathaway is going to start offering a new kind of travel insurance, banking on the average flyer's skepticism about airlines being able to deliver what they promise. Flat rate of $25, and it pays out for things like a missed connection or delayed flight. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney says now there's a way to bet against airlines and profit from your own inconvenience. Scott, how's it work?
Well, it's basically convenience insurance. It's insurance that is available for domestic trips at a flat fee of $25, and it pays out if something goes wrong. So if your flight is 2 hours late, basically regardless of the reason, they'll put $50 into your bank account. There's no issue of, did you have a claim or costs or anything like that. It's just cash. If your bag doesn't get to you within, your check bag doesn't get to you within 12 hours, $500 goes into your account. You miss a connection, boom, $500. You're stuck on the plane for a two-hour tarmac delay. They'll pay you $1,000. And it's basically to ease the pain and essentially bet against the airline.
Wow. There must be some sort of minimum standards, though, right? You can't, book your ticket and then deliberately arrive late to the airport and claim you missed your flight or something like that, right?
Yeah, a couple things, but it's pretty minor. It's not like the typical airline thing where, hey, if it's weather, it's not our fault. You can buy this insurance up to an hour before the flight. Now, if there's bad weather forecast, they do shut off sales, so they're not going to let you buy. And I think the other exclusion is if war breaks out and that's why your flight's late or canceled, they're not on the hook for that. But the whole idea is to make this simple and easy so there aren't a whole lot of restrictions to it. And the insurance company does the tracking. So in theory, they can certainly, like everybody else, they can track flights and know if you're stuck on the tarmac for 2 hours. And when you are, they'll send you a text message saying, hey, we're sending you $1,000. The whole idea is keep it simple. If you incur two problems, they'll pay you for both.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney about a new type of travel insurance from Berkshire Hathaway. So who does Berkshire Hathaway think is the most likely customer for this type of insurance?
It's a very interesting question. They think it will appeal both to road warriors, people who, you know, are flying all the time. And I think the other market is the leisure traveler, the more traditional travel insurance buyer who is likely to insure an expensive overseas trip. But traditional travel insurance is more expensive and filled with exclusions, so not all that useful. Airlines try and sell inexpensive trip protector insurance when you buy your ticket online. I don't think that's taken off a whole lot. This is sort of like that idea on steroids, where you don't have to have a claim, you don't have to have a reason. It's just a matter of the clock. If the flight is late, that's it. You're going to get the cash.
So for this flat $25, are you covered for all those categories? Missed connection, lost luggage, tarmac for 2 hours?
Tarmac for 2 hours and baggage delay for 12 hours. Those four categories. Now, this is not traditional travel insurance where you don't have any medical coverage or medical evacuation or the things that typically come with travel insurance.
Scott, Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. 8 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. Some Democratic lawmakers are joining Republicans in calling for Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki to resign, with a watchdog report finding systemic problems at VA healthcare facilities. Arizona Senator John McCain spoke to reporters.
It's time for Secretary Shinseki to step down. And if Secretary Shinseki does not step down voluntarily, then I call on the President of the United States to relieve him of his duties, to fire him.
Meanwhile, the U.S. military has dispatched 1,000 Marines on an assault ship to the Mediterranean as the State Department urges Americans to leave Libya because of a worsening security situation there. President Barack Obama today is scheduled to host a conference that highlights the risks of head injuries to young athletes. The event will include representatives from professional and college sports, coaches, athletes, researchers, and children. Well, it was March of last year when an outbreak of antibiotic-resistant salmonella began to make people sick, and it continues to do so today. Federal health officials say there have been 50 new cases reported in the past couple of months, and 574 people sickened since March of last year, but no recall of Foster Farms chicken from California. Embattled L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling vows to fight a forced sale of the franchise, even as potential buyers line up to bid on the team. His wife Shelley Sterling has told prospective buyers that her husband gave permission to make a deal. But now Mr. Sterling's attorney says his client has had a change of heart. Today brings a revised look at economic growth for the first quarter. The government's initial estimate showed an economy that was barely keeping its head above water. But Kevin Kern with Advisors Capital says the economy does appear to be moving in the right direction.
We're seeing growth in job creation, and job creation doesn't happen unless employers feel that there's growth. We're also seeing growth in acquisitions, so that means the chief financial officers and the boards are confident.
Stock futures this morning are slightly positive after a bit of a negative day. The Dow was down about 42, the Nasdaq 12, the S&P 500 slipped 2 points, but trading volumes remained low. Hachette Book Groups is rebuffing Amazon's suggestion that the two join together to compensate authors who are affected by their ongoing dispute. The dispute between the two companies, the problem center on Amazon's efforts to improve its split on e-book prices.
Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. The Scripps National Spelling Bee crowns a new champ today, but could those young wizards handle some of today's sports names like Saltalamacchia? The sports world is littered with names that are nearly impossible to spell. With that in mind, the Journal crunched data to determine which athlete names are most commonly goofed. The most error-inducing names are ones that are deceptively difficult rather than obviously difficult. The big winner was not, for example, Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, him of the KRZYZ start. Tops on the most misspelled list was the famous Y that goes before the A in Dwayne Wade's first name. Ever since articles started appearing about the Miami Heat star, there have been 6,400 stories that erroneously spell his first name as D-W-A-Y-N-E. It's actually D-W-Y-A-N-E. Mark Burley, the Blue Jays, J.J. Redick, also on the list. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
By 2025, It's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs, as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
Thanks for listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow The Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.